Live from the heartland and the crossroads of America, it's Tony Katz Today.
Knowledge is power, but there are some things we should not know. Like the day we're going to die. Yet here's the headline. AI death calculator creators issue urgent warning about frighteningly accurate tool. Frighteningly is not an easy word for me. I don't think I want to know. I don't think you want to know. Well, if I know when the end is coming, then I can, you know, I can live my life to the fullest. You weren't doing that now? Why weren't you doing that now? Tony Katz today, what's going on? 833-468-8669-833-GOT-TONY. Now, what they've got here is they take a look at your life, right? Their income, profession, your health history, and they can determine life expectancy with 78% accuracy. So it's this group called Life2Vec, and they utilize ChatGPT to put together this data and how long you're going to live. And you answer a couple questions, and then it tells you. And I'm not about to do this. And I'm not going to recommend that you do it. I think it's interesting that people want to know. It's interesting that people want to know how it's all going to be over. I think it's interesting that you know it's going to be over and go about trying to live your life. I say this as a guy who has admitted to you that I am absolutely scared to die. And only recently have I been able to, recently, like past couple months, like I haven't gone to sleep with this thought, which is weird because that happened out of nowhere. It came like not thinking about like a random thought or not thinking about somebody else passing, but like every day it came to me as I was getting ready to go to sleep. And that lasted for a year. I talk myself down from it most times, most nights, and some nights be like, okay, I'm up now. This is happening. I don't know why things affect in the way that they do as they do. I will tell you, I got a fascinating email from somebody who I think wanted to convert me. You guys know that I'm Jewish. You get Tony. You get me, honestly. I think you get like better parking at your church. You convert Tony Katz. Oh, Gary, you could sit up on the pulpit for like a year, and you're parking right up front. And then you know it comes around for tithing, and the pastor's like, no, we got you. You're covered. You did good. Katz, you got Katz. We're changing his last name to Johnson. Aside from that, good work. Good work. I want to share a story. It was a very, the gesture was, hey, read this. Jesus said this and read this. I'm not going to get into what. I want to share with you that I question whether or not that is a response, because I read it. I read the email, and part of me said, "Well, that's very sweet of them," and part of me was so outrageously offended I thought about responding. Sometimes there's nothing more than sharing a thing, and I think in a social media world, and I think to people's personalities, we want to solve the problem. Why, we've got the answer. Can't a thing be a thing? Now, you can say to me, Tony, you just said it went on for a year. Yes, but I wasn't debilitated. I slept more nights than I didn't. My family didn't leave me. I didn't lose my job. I didn't become an alcoholic. None of the things happened. None of that happened. I think we rush to answers. We rush to solutions based on things that we do. It's when you talk to somebody about losing weight, well, I do the carnivore diet, and as you know, that's the finest. Oh, I'm only keto. You know, I'm gluten-free, you know. And it's this constant. Why does it have to go to that place from the beginning? Why can't it just be a simple vent or just a simple conversation and you move on to the next thing? People want to answer. They're desperate to answer. And the more I listen to this, the more I realize I'm actually not interested in that. There are answers. That doesn't mean that I want to answer. And it's weird being in this position and engaging that conversation. But it turns out that there's a tie-in. I saw this ridiculous post from Meghan McCain today. I don't know Meghan McCain personally, and it's not like I'm trying to. I wasn't a big fan of her father's, the late Senator John McCain. I'm certainly not a fan of Cindy McCain and the work she's doing with the food bank and the commentary she's had regarding Israel. But this is the post. This post got 1,000 likes on social media. And the post reads, "There are too many failed actors and failed theater kids in conservative media." I have no idea what that means at all. What's the point of this? Except for Meghan McCain to be able to stand on a soapbox and say, "Aren't I wonderful? Now you know how much more wonderful I am than you. You are not serious people, but I am serious about conservatism." What the hell is this? What kind of statement is this? There is no value to it. There is no rationality to it. There's a, hey, let me just throw out an answer. Here's the problem. At least the person who sent me the email regarding Jesus, it comes from a place of conviction. It's something that this person believes and thought could be helpful to me. Right? That's the part I always try to remember, that it comes from a basis. This thing from Meghan McCain doesn't come from a basis. It comes from a, "Look at me! Aren't I wonderful? 5 more likes and I can charge more for a post." Or I don't know if she does that or not. Let's say that that's true. There are too many failed actors and failed theater kids in conservative media. A, I don't know what it means. But B, let's say that it's true, even though I don't know what it means. What do you want to do about that? What does it do? Hey, I think I see a problem. Let's discuss this, which is people who are influencers who don't actually have conservative bona fides, but utilize the term conservative as a way of attracting people with a populist message. Now, if you say to me, "Tony, did you just come up with that one?" Oh, no, I've been discussing this with people for going on a year now. People like Keira Davis, who fills in on the show. I discuss what I'm seeing, the issue with conservatism, as a conversation about the problem with populism. She sees it differently, and the problem that we're seeing is not conservatism versus populism, but is a difference of the actual media being the message. The literal dictionary definition, if you will, of the medium is the message. Have you ever heard that expression? The medium is the message. Right? So we're going back to McLuhan. And the idea of how you reach people. Well, here I am on radio, right? Well, of course, right. You're listening. And on radio, we engage and we go deep. And I mean, I start with a conversation about a fear of death. You don't really do that in the social media sphere. But in the social media sphere, you could do 2 minutes or 1 minute or 44 seconds of just outrage porn. And because of how that is delivered, you get more likes. And yes, you can create very, very large scale followings. And so here is the developed thought competing with the compact hit meant to immediately grab an emotion as opposed to walk through a theory and a philosophy. Those are different things. Those are very, very different things. And that, to Keira Davis's point, is the actual fight. It's the idea that it isn't conservatism versus populism. It's the idea of how a message is delivered. It's delivery mechanism versus delivery mechanism. Proof of what she's saying. And by the way, it's not that we disagreed with each other. We do agree. It's that I think she just engaged a bit more of the real issue. The proof is this Meghan McCain nonsense tweet. There are too many failed actors and failed theater kids in conservative media. By the way, the response that she got on this, and Nepo babies. Too many Nepo babies. Nepo, nepotism, meaning the only reason anybody pays attention to Meghan McCain is because of who her father was. It's funny and kind of true. Hey, she at least did fight on The View because Alyssa Farah Griffin has no interest in doing that whatsoever. This is what we're fighting. This nonsense statement with 1,000 likes and is going to have this reach. And where does that put a philosophical argument in conversation? It puts it in a bit of a back burner position because of the medium. Now, I will tell you, I have said this before. I will say it again. I say it at conferences. I'm a man of no fear. Thank goodness for talk radio. Thank goodness for what Rush Limbaugh started. Thank goodness for its proliferation. Because during COVID, for example, the only places that were giving accurate sources of information and the direct and important due to conversation and discussion and disagreement was talk radio. It wasn't happening on TV and you were being silenced on social media. The only places where it was actually being discussed and broken out was talk radio. And in a great number of ways, it's still the only place that's really having like an in-depth conversation about anything. But when it comes to impact, does the intellectual, philosophical, just genuine conversation lose out to the rage porn of a reel, a short, or a TikTok video? And if so, what do we do about that? Well, I would still have to start with, I don't think we should be people who are looking to answer the question in a soundbite. Giving an answer because, oh, I have the answer. Oh, I know best. What if you don't know the answer? Is it so bad to say I don't know? The answer to my fear of dying is not to convert. I woke up Jewish today. I'm going to go to sleep Jewish tonight. That's the way that one's going. I'm good. It isn't just, well, take a pill and get some sleep. Well, that's not going to solve my genuine concern and or fear. The answer to your dietary needs is not whatever chocolate chip cookie, sauerkraut, lemonade diet some weird cousin of yours has tried. Sometimes there are no easy answers. Sometimes there are no answers. Sometimes there are easy answers, and sometimes you can work your way through thought and conversation and philosophy and the classics. You can get to an answer. You can take a look at history or culture and see what answers have developed, and sometimes the answer is not perfect. It's just the best you can do. So, I have an irrational fear of dying and squirrels, but that's another subject. I'm Tony Katz. It's all going down at Columbia University. Police are showing up, and there is a letter that has come out, a notice to the encampment. Of course, these bigots at Columbia University, colleges all across America. Tony Katz today, what's going down? Look, we've explained the rules. Exams are going to begin. People want to just go to school and have the right to be safe. Please promptly gather your belongings and leave the encampment. If you voluntarily leave by 2 p.m., identify yourself to a university official and sign the provided form where you commit to abide by all university policies through June 30th, 2025, or the date of the conferral of your degree, whichever is earlier. You will be eligible to complete the semester in good standing and will not be placed on suspension as long as you adhere to that commitment. We want to do all that we can to allow our graduating students to finish their studies. Huh. I guess they're going to try and put an end to this with also a little bit of a threat of, you want a degree, right? Well, don't get in our way. You want a degree? Don't get in our way. That's what you can do. So we'll see. We will see. I'm going to cover it. Oh, man, this is like moments away. Let's find out what happens. Let's see if they actually pack up or they start a fight. I assume that they're going to put up a fight. If I'm going to guess, they're going to put up a fight. And then, of course, their tents are going to get thrown away. And then, of course, whoever is funding the tents, Soros, excuse me. Oh, I'm sorry. It's just a little bit of a cough right there. Soros! Who? Oh, it must have been the shrimp salad I had for lunch. They'll have new tents, and they'll come back and do it again. Why would anybody think that these people are worried about being threatened? Why would anybody think that it'll hold? You've got university professors protecting these students every which way. But this is going down, and we will cover it. Meanwhile, the White House is trying to prevent an all-out mutiny because there was a story that they were trying to replace Corinne Jean-Pierre. But they know, which is why you see so much John Kirby. Corinne Jean-Pierre can't do the job. And the devastation in Oklahoma, the tornadoes there, tornadoes in Nebraska over the weekend, just gigantic. We'll have the latest. on that as well. And oh yes, Kristi Noem will not be vice president with Donald Trump. That's guaranteed. And by the way, neither will Ron DeSantis. I'll break that down. This is Tony Katz today.
Do you hear from them that they're excited to go vote for Joe Biden?
To be honest, you know, we don't. It's not a topic that, you know, always comes up, but it does a lot. I think that the number one goal for them right now, you know, just listening to what they had to say, is that they want to see a ceasefire in Gaza. They want to see the indiscriminate bombings and killings end, right? That is the reason why they're on. There's a lot of noise around this that distracts from that. There's a lot of noise that tries to take away from that central message. But that is the central thing that they are fighting for. And they believe and they feel like our government can do more.
With all due respect, Representative Lee, none of what you said is true, except for the students are not excited to vote for Joe Biden. After that, everything else is a ridiculous level of spin. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today. 833-468-8669-833. Got Tony. That is the number. That's how you get to be a part of the program. Find everything at TonyKatz.com. Email Tony at TonyKatz.com. Feel free. Happy to take a look at that. And there was a story about Corinne Jean-Pierre. Corinne Jean-Pierre is the White House press secretary. And the story is that there was a move afoot to remove her from the position. That quite clearly, she can't do the job. And we should be clear that Corinne Jean-Pierre cannot do the job at all. She was, what's the word? I'm ill-prepared. Completely not capable. Ignorant. Not smart enough. What else could I say that no matter what I say, it will have me called a racist? Because that's exactly what they'll say. Sure, there's a black press secretary and an openly gay press secretary, and you just can't handle it. I can't handle how bad she is. I can't handle the level of circle backs. I absolutely, positively cannot. I cannot keep up with how many times she does not know how to answer anything. And when you take a look at with the conversation regarding Israel, how they had John Kirby from the security administration there doing all the answering, they knew it as well. So now the Biden team is denying that there was a plot to get rid of Corinne Jean-Pierre. This was reported by the New York Post last week inside the failed White House coup to oust a Biden press secretary, Corinne Jean-Pierre. They take a look at, for example, how she always reads her answers, never mind how bad her answers are, but she reads them from a binder. The idea that they're cans. You know, she doesn't actually talk to reporters. She just goes over the talking points and that's it. That's all she does. So there was supposedly a conversation that took place that White House officials were calling prominent Democrats and telling them that they have to tell Corinne Jean-Pierre that maybe she should move on now. So they weren't going to just flat out fire her or replace her. No, what you needed were people of name and stature and prominence to tell her, hey, Maybe, you know, maybe I got something for you in the private sector. You know, we could really use a woman of your talents here. And, oh, you'd be making $1.3 million a year. Right? Just a way to get her out of the gig. Remember, Jen Psaki was only there for like 16 months. That's right. It only felt like forever. It was actually just 16 months. They were trying to find a graceful exit for Corinne Jean-Pierre because they didn't want the optics of firing her. That is weak. That is weak. If you have to let somebody go, look them in the eye and say it's done. They need to know it. But you're going to hide behind some high-powered Democrats? You could still get them the other job if they want to save some face, but you got to look them in the eye. But is it because they don't want to be seen firing their press secretary, or they don't want to be seen firing a gay woman, or they don't want to be seen firing a black woman? I have one man and one woman on staff. They both happen to be white. I know, I'm a bigot, but neither one of them is Jewish, so as you could see, I'm inclusive. If I had to fire one of them, it would be eye to eye or phone to phone. I mean, because one lives in town and one doesn't. Just do it. Just stop talking to you? That doesn't make any sense. Get somebody else to do it? Doesn't make any sense. You got to be able to do these things. If you want to grow a business of any kind, if you want to run an organization of any kind, you have to sometimes tell people that this isn't working. Maybe something else could, or maybe it can't. You have to find the right people for the right places in the organization. You know, you can talk about what moves them. I know that guys like Gary Vee are always talking about what moves the employee and how do you help match that. And I think there is a level of truth to that. But there is also a recognition that sometimes what the employee wants to be is not something that the employee can be. This is true of people. This is true of people. They see themselves in a certain way, but the truth is that is not the way they are built. It's not the way they're made. Sometimes you discover this about yourself if you're honest. And man, whoo, that's rough. That is rough. You know what? I'm not actually the thing I thought I was. I can't actually do the thing that I thought I could do. She can't do this job. She can never do this job. And the only reason she has the job, so we can do this again, the only reason Corinne Jean-Pierre has the job is because she checks boxes. It is not based on talent. There are talented communication professionals out there who are black, who are women, and who are gay, and could possibly be some combination thereof, or have hit the trifecta. None of them are named Corinne Jean-Pierre. That's all. That is all. Nothing else. It doesn't take anger. It doesn't take screams of bigotry. But it does show you what a pansy leader Joe Biden is. No leadership whatsoever in Joe Biden. If you can't say the words, if you can't come out and say it, well, then you lack the leadership. Now, this brings us to Seinfeld. I was discussing him yesterday just because I was noticing some things about Jerry Seinfeld and his, what I consider to be his demeanor, which I don't consider to be friendly. Now, I've never met the man. We have never hung out. We have never had a conversation. I doubt I ever will. If I did, I'd say hello, nice to meet you, and that would be it. He has made it clear, Jerry Seinfeld has made it clear that he is only interested in comics. He is not interested in meeting people and talking to people. He's not interested in hearing what they have to say. I can appreciate such a thing. I really can. Well, he's doing a an interview, right? He's got this new movie coming out on Netflix, which is the fictionalized history of the Pop-Tart. And he was talking about making the movie and that, you know, the movie industry is dead and the only people who don't know it are the movie people. No, the movie people know it. They're still trying to figure out how to make money, and the things don't make money like they used to. Content creation, as I discussed last week, still exists. People still want content. It's just different content right now. And so the financial model that made Hollywood work no longer exists. That's reality. So he does this interview, does Jerry Seinfeld. And I think there isn't anything bad in it. But a producer, Jason, finger on the dump button, just in case. And this is Jerry talking about comedy's dead, and because, a bit of social media and certainly a lot of lefty nonsense.
Nothing really affects comedy. People always need it. They need it so badly, and they don't get it. It used to be you would go home at the end of the day. Most people would go, oh, Cheers is on. Oh, MASH is on. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore is on. All in the Family's on. You just expect it. There'll be some funny stuff we can watch on TV tonight. Well, guess what? Where is it? This is the result of the extreme left and PC crap and people worrying so much about offending other people. Mm-hmm. When you write a script and it goes into four or five different hands, committees, groups, here's our thought about this joke. Well, that's the end of your comedy. They move the gates, like in skiing.
Yeah.
Culture, the gates are moving. Your job is to be agile and clever enough that wherever they put the gates, I'm going to make the gate.
That's true. That is true. You got to roll with the punches. But it is equally true that we certainly have put an end to comedy in America. Or at least have tried to. There is nothing funny on. There is only a lecturing thing on. And the reason that there's nothing funny on is funny might offend. And nobody is willing to look at the audience and say, hi, I'm so-and-so, the president of NBC. This show is hilarious. And if you're offended, don't watch it. Have a nice day. It's going to air next week and the week after as well. We do things that are funny here. Someone could be offended and we all sleep fine. Bye. They won't fire you if you check certain boxes, so they try and pressure you out. And by the way, does anybody doubt that that's exactly what happened with Corinne Jean-Pierre? That is exactly what happened. And the comedy police come and say, this is offensive, that is offensive, the other's offensive, your mother's offensive, and so nobody does anything funny anymore. We think it's funny, but it's not. It's like watching these people on TikTok who are like, wow, they can really dance. No, they can't dance. Some people can dance, and some people are just auditioning for porn. That's the vast majority of TikTok and an Instagram reel. You might think that the person dancing's got some talent, but they don't actually have talent. You understand that, right? I only hope you do. Seinfeld is right about comedy. And it's the same argument about the firing. You can't fire the person if they check the boxes. You can't have any comedy that might offend, even though that's funny stuff. Honestly, I don't know how Family Guy even gets away with it. But I'm glad they're still on the air, no matter how terrible Seth MacFarlane's politics are. I'm Tony Katz. Tornadoes in Oklahoma. Absolutely brutal. Tony Katz. Tony Katz today, and certainly keeping our eyes on it as we're heard on KRMG in Tulsa, Marietta, Sulphur, Stillwater, Newkirk. Registered tornadoes. It was EF zeros in Newkirk and Stillwater, but Sulphur and Marietta were an EF3, four known dead, and the damage out of what's called Sulphur, Oklahoma. So that is south of Oklahoma City and really due north of Dallas. Just, There's no easy way to say it, and there's no like phraseology that'll work. It's just an absolute disaster. The destruction. 20,000 people as of this morning were without electricity. Those tornadoes began late Saturday, continued, and KRMG is reporting, KRMG.com, that there are more storms likely this week. So whether that will be, you know, rainstorms or whether that will just be wind, whether that will lead to tornadic activity, that's the unknown. And so that is the latest. But just incredible amounts of devastation. The governor, Kevin Stitt, has got 12 counties in a state of emergency in Oklahoma, just starting the cleanup now, which, if there are more storms this week, goes for naught. And, of course, if there are people missing, the number of the dead, which is right now at 4, can sadly go up. So we keep our eyes on it. Certainly, we're not expecting anybody coastal. We're not expecting Coastal TV or Coastal anybody else to cover these things. This is Midwest stuff. We will cover it. There's also issues with potentials of flooding, water rescues. This is all in the area of the Chickasaw National Recreation Area. Pedestrian bridges got wiped out. You've got lake levels that are rising. Yeah, the photos are absolutely brutal. Just brutal. And it's always amazing. One building totally fine, the next 5 buildings don't exist. Don't know how that happens. This is Tony Katz Today.